I think it, you know, God will be really pleased to receive our praises, right? And since we are our choirs get back to normal, maybe we continue to do these anthems together. When I came to the United States in 1996, I learned that the best way to learn culture and language is to watch comedy and read cartoon on newspaper. Some of you remember the fat cat Garfield? Yeah, I remember one cartoon. This Garfield sitting in a comfortable chair. And he saw his friend Audie, which is dog, at outside, looking at inside from the window, almost like a begging, wants to get inside. Garfield said himself, there's a cartoon says, "Poor Audie, locked outside in the cold. I just can't bear to see him like this." And then next one, "I gotta do something." The next cartoon, at this point, Garfield slowly get up from his chair and closes the curtains. I mean, it's a cat, you know? It's funny because Garfield reacted very strangely, unexpected way, and also it reflects the characteristic of cat. So that's why it's funny. When we analyze, simplify our action process, we can lay out how do we act. Then I could identify three different stages. Number one, perceive. Number two, filtering and process. And number three, action. So when we act, we are going through this three different process. First one is we encounter something and we perceive all the information in. Taking in all the information, that's the first stage. And the second stage is very important because in second stage, we are filtering out. We are processing all the information that we perceived. This is important because it results the next stage, which is action part. Last stage is action, based on the filtering and processing the information. Like I said, second stage is very important, how we filtering the information, how we process the information, and then this all process will be the result of the next action coming out. As we define faith, I believe that faith is the process of upgrading this second part, the middle part, filtering and processing part. What we put in our process, what we put our is this filtering process that will come out of our action of faith. You still don't get all the stage part, so I'm going to give you some examples how this different stage, especially the second stage, is important. I don't want to use the political stories from the pulpit, but anyway. When we look at all this political situation around us today, there are so many people who have different filtering system. So many people have a different filtering system in the stage of this second stage. So, we see so many people these days, no matter what kind of information, what kind of factual information they perceived, they are all filtering out with their own political filter and trying to get in all the information they like. So, their action remains the same, even though they are receiving all different kind of factual information. Because of their political filter, in the process of this second stage, all the real information, factual information, they all filter out. Doesn't matter whether or it's a real or it's a true, doesn't matter. Because of they have a certain political filter in their mind, filtering out all information which that they don't like it. So, this filtering system is the key to our action. As a Christian, we need to put something in this filtering system to discern our faithful life. What would that be? Maybe Bible? The Word of God? We put in our filtering system as a filter, then we are able to filtering out all this information we got from the world through the Bible. Maybe we are finally able to discern what God wants us to go. Maybe the Holy Spirit as our filter. So whatever we got from all the information we got from the world, we depend on Holy Spirit to filtering out the information that we don't need it, maybe information that we need for our change, and then we follow God's direction. So, that's why I'm telling you, keep updating and updating our filtering system is a key of our faith. So how we filtering, how we process our faith is the result of our action in faith. So action, our action will be clearly different than those who don't believe in God. That's why we need to take a close look what kind of filter I have in my faith. What kind of filter I'm using to process all the information in my faith? Are we considering the Bible or Holy Spirit as my filter? With all the information we receive every day, all the junk information that we receive every day. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the word of the Bible help us to understand God, our Creator, a little bit more. Word of the Bible direct us to think, have a better connection with God every day. Personally, one particular fascinating point for me that God is all-powerful, all-wonderful God who created this universe. And yet, in the Bible, we are able to find God always work with God's people. Amen? I mean, take a look at the Bible. Even though God has ability to do everything alone, but God is working with God's people. That's amazing and fascinating about God. God always works with God's people, giving them strength and then telling them what to do, where to go. Even though God has powerful, what's the word? Omnipotent? Yeah. But God is working with God's people. Sometimes, you know, God is telling God's people, please, let's do this, let's go this. Especially when you look at the book of Jonah. You know, God is keep telling Jonah, let's go, let's go. And Jonah said, I don't want to go. That's what God is working with God's people. When Israelites crossed the Red Sea in the book of Exodus, God did not simply part the Red Sea, even though God has ability to do it. But God told Moses like this in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 and 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out to the hand over the sea and divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Even though God has the ability to take part the Red Sea, but God used Moses and Moses' staff to part the Red Sea so that Israelites go through this water on dry ground. Isn't it amazing? The same goes for Wall of Jericho. God could have just broke down the wall of Jericho, but God did not do that way. The instruction from God is this. The Israelites go around the city for 7 days. For 6 days, just one time, and the last day, seventh day, go around seven times, and then blow your trumpets and shout it. So Israelites did exactly what God told them to do. And the wall of Jericho was fell down on the ground. So, let me ask you, did the Israelites destroy the wall of Jericho, or God did it? God used God's people to do God's amazing work. God has a power to do everything, but God used God's people to destroy the wall of Jericho to the very bottom. Simple as this, as a salvation too, right? The Jesus Christ on the cross is the same thing. Jesus gave them the great commission to go out to the world and preach the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of us. God used the disciples to spread the good news. With this dynamic of God working with God's people, I believe the important thing is that we need to know for sure that there is a part that only God can do. I call divine part. And there is a part that we need to do. What does God do? What kind of divine part is this? God does part that we cannot possibly do. Only God can do. That's the part that God is working on for our benefit. And God let us do many other parts that what we are able to do and what we have to do. For example, salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross. God came down to earth to save the world. That's the part we cannot possibly do. Only God can do. That's the divine part. We cannot save ourselves, so God stepped in. God came to earth and crucified to open the door of salvation for us. That's the divine part. Only God can do. Then what's our part from there? Our part is to believe. Our part is to believe that there's somebody, Jesus Christ, died for my sin. That's the part we are able to do with our ability. To believe. At least we can do it, right? To believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And also there's a part that we have to do is to preach, to spread the good news to others. That's exactly what God expects us to do, and we are able to do it. The problem is, instead of, when we look at our faith part, instead of doing our own part, oftentimes we do interfere with divine part. We try to interfere with divine part, trying to judge the part that we're not supposed to judge. For example, have you heard somebody ask you, non-Christian ask you this question? Is a newborn baby died, this baby will go to heaven or not? Will this newborn baby could be saved or not? Have you heard that question? Challenging? This is a tricky question that tried to get you in trouble. But the thing is, answer is very simple. Because that's the part that we're not supposed to judge. That's a divine part. There's a divine part that we cannot possibly even understand. Salvation is that part. Salvation is entirely divine area, God's part, that only God has authority and power. And it's wrong for us to determine and judge. So next time somebody asks you this question, answer this. That's a divine part that we cannot possibly understand. But we know that God is with us. What we have to do, what we must do, what God does, God will make very clear. So today, I'm encouraging you to do our own part, not interfering our God's part, divine part. Among all the things that we have to do, are we keep controlling our tongues and lips? Are we not good at controlling our tongues and lips? Today's verse 10 and 11. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil, their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. At least, can we do that part? It seems like that would be really easy to do, keeping control of our tongues and lips. But in reality, we're not doing it well. Especially we as a Christian, we need to keep control of our tongues and lips, because our tongues and lips has a power. In Proverbs chapter 18, 21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Listen to me. The tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat the fruit. Words can save lives or kill. That has power. So that's why we as a Christian must keep our tongues and lips, knowing that these tongues and lips have an amazing, tremendous power, even kill people. First Peter chapter 3, 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. With blessing. Because to you were called so that you may be inherit a blessing. In many times, we use our tongues and lips the same way that people treat me, right? In many times, we repay evil with evil, insult with insult. But today's scripture really encourages us to use our lips and tongues for blessing, because in that way, you will be blessed by God. This is very important. The power and authority that we were given, we have to use it right way. And that's the right way that today's scripture really encourages us. Do not repay evil with evil, insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you are called. And here is amazing things. If we keep our control, the lips and tongues, and bless other people, then God will take that blessing and bless more to us. In Gospel of Luke chapter 6, 35, it says this, "Give, and it will be given to you. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, presses down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." That means if we use our tongues to bless others, then that's the same measure that God used to bless me. If we approach this in an opposite way, then if we cannot control our tongues and lips, and that measure will be poured out upon us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we speak with our tongues and lips, we can do so many things, right? We can curse, we can praise, we can pray, blessing, all kind of things. But let us remember, as the people of God, followers of Jesus Christ, we have this accountability. Accountability, how to keep our tongues and lips. Because it has power and authority, it has accountability follows. For accountability, the generation we're living in, it's hard to find accountability, even political world, right? If we know for sure that accountability follows for the word that I say, we probably not say that mindlessly. If we know for sure that the power and authority comes with the accountability, then we probably use our tongues and lips wisely according to the word of God. But because we don't realize it, how terrifying the responsibility for using their words. In book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3, God blessed Abraham, says this, "I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." In that way, we know how powerful and accountability's power follows in our tongues and lips. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God is always watching us. God always sees us to doing what we need to do, what we need to say as a children of God. And most importantly, God is listening. God will bless us as we bless others. God will bless us as we hold God's people in our heart and use our tongues and lips in an appropriate way. That's what we do our part. That's what we need to do our own part. I really pray that you and I will use wisely and keep our tongues and lips according to the word of God. Then we together able to build the kingdom of God. We are able to build up the righteousness of God together. Can we do it? Let's do it. Let us pray. Amazing God, we thank you for waking us up again this morning to realize that our tongue and lips has great power, power to give life or power to take life away. God, we thank you again for challenging us to realize there's accountability follows of what we say, what to do as your children. Help us, God, to have your spirit in us as the filter of our words, as the filter of our action. Help us to use the power and authority to build your kingdom in our lives. Be with us. Empower us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand up for the closing hymn, if you are able?